back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And we are here with a great episode for the month of March. We are talking about normal things this month, which is hyped books. That is the theme for this month. I think everyone has fallen victim to a very overhyped book or has some level of experience there. So we're going to talk about it.
I actually struggled with this one because like the books that are like overhyped or whatever, I genuinely like, I just enjoy because I'm not a critical reader. So like a lot of the times when these books are like overhyped or people consider them overhyped, a lot of the things that they point out that they have a problem with, like I just don't care about because I'm just not a critical reader.
You're not there for that.
And like most of the ones that I have a problem with, we've already talked about on this podcast. So I feel like I'm going to be kind of saying the same things I've been saying for 7 months now, but we'll see.
I mean, that is a thing because not only do we forget the plot of books, we do sometimes forget exactly what we've talked about because there was our 2024 favorites and then what we were looking for in 2025. We definitely had like almost the same conversation in both of those episodes. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what you're getting into here. We're just here. This is about the vibes. Everything we do is so.
But yeah, it's our own version of like March Madness.
It is. It is ready for the book brackets and what is, maybe we'll decide like what is the most overhyped one from that we talked about. Maybe we'll let you vote and see. And yes, because we are also then going to be talking about Freida McFadden. So we're going to be reading one of her books. I think we'll probably go with The Housemaid because that's the one that I personally saw everywhere.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard of her. So I also already own it. So it kind of makes it easy.
I think it's on Kindle Unlimited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of her books are.
Yeah. And she's, I feel like everywhere. I see her name everywhere. Her books are like super hyped and I've never read anything by her. So I feel like that's a really good choice for this month.
Yeah, so it'll be, the next episode will be a spoiler chat, so please, 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 like, since that is still kind of, like, making its rounds, it's still kind of newer on Bookstagram, I feel like, at least from what I've seen. Maybe people have been talking about it for a while, but if you want to read it, please do so before you listen to our next episode.
Yeah.
But we are not spoiling anything today.
No.
We're gonna talk about what books did we think were overhyped, and which books do we think are underhyped. Would you like to kick us off? Or would you like me to
I would
go?
Like you to go, because I am scared. I don't know why I found this one so daunting, but I really did. I'm scared that everything I have to say is stupid.
I'm sure it is not. Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like my overhyped list is going to maybe upset some people, because the ones I picked are ones that I think I was the only one who did not like them.
Oh.
From what I've seen in the reception on Instagram. So my first one is Hidden Pictures by Jason Reculuk. Did you end up reading this one when it came out?
No, I didn't. I have a copy that I got from, I think it was a first read maybe or something. I don't know. I know I own it, but I read the first few chapters and actually I had seen somebody else review it and say that they didn't love it because it felt like there was, like, too much religion in it. And so I was like, pass.
Interesting. I don't remember there being a religious aspect, to be quite honest with you. But maybe there was, if it's in their review. So
interesting.
If it is, it's not heavy. So for anyone who hasn't read, this isn't going to be a spoiler chat. But it's basically, we follow Mallory. She is fresh out of rehab. She's trying to get her life back together. And she starts to babysit for this kind of well-off family. She gets the connection from like her sponsor or somebody who was helping her just get her life back on track. And so she immediately is just like in the routine. She loves it. She's babysitting. Their son's name is Teddy. And she's just getting the stability and the routine that she needs to move on. But then a big part of this book is the artwork that Teddy draws, and it is just very, like, dark, you know, like a kid drawing weird stuff, basically. And it just is, like, she feels like a five-year-old can't draw this stuff. Like, it feels too much for him, so she's worried, and it just goes through that. And, like, where is it coming from? What does this artwork mean? Yada, yada. I did this on audio. So I would like to preface that, like, maybe that, like, skewed my viewpoint, because the book does have the actual drawings in it. Like, they come up in real time as you're reading. So a lot of people, I think, who liked it, from what I saw, read with eyes, yeah, not ears.
That makes sense.
So I don't know if that impacted it, but I just felt like, I don't know, I'm kind of tired of the unstable female narrator thing, especially like when it's written by a man, because there wasn't that much depth to it, to me, like her character. But also, like, there was just a scene that happened, and it's like, how do you not have the forethought of how this would turn out if you have this conversation with people? I don't know. I just, it fell flat for me. I didn't love Mallory, and I didn't think it was that scary. And I don't know, if you're going to be an unreliable narrator, like, do it better than that. Because then it's like, it borderlines of like, it's not that you're lying or that you know you're scheming. It's that, like, are you sane? And that's the part I didn't like. Yeah. Is that, are you even coherent enough to, like, have these concerns? And so I was like, meh, I didn't really love it.
Yeah, I get sick of that. In the, it's the sanity question, like, that I'm not, I don't know, into.
Yeah, I don't love that. Like, I love, again, we've talked about, we're all about revenge and, like, you know, female main characters. Like, if you're gonna, like, I like unlikable female characters. Those are amazing. I just don't like this.
Right.
Because it kind of, like, you know how toward, and I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here, but you know how, like, the tail end of some of Riley Sager's books, the female narrators are just like, what are you doing? That's kind of what it felt like to me. To be honest.
Yeah.
So
that's funny, because my overrated, just like, one of them just says Riley Sager's last few books.
Oh, perfect. Because I put one of his books. So that's awesome. We are on the same page.
Yeah. On the same topic of, like, women not being written well, my first overrated, people raved about it. And I get it, because the premise is great. But Kill Creek by Scott Thomas, I hated that book.
I forgot you did, yeah.
So it's a bunch of horror authors are, like, invited to come stay in this haunted house for a reason. I don't know, a TV show or something. And every woman in this book is written horribly. Like, they're stupid or they're useless. The one, like, strong female character they have, there's a successful novelist who's a woman, and she's just, like, hypersexualized. Like, she writes her books in the nude and blah, 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 blah. And I finished it because it's, you know, it was an interesting concept. Right. I'm not a quitter. I have a really hard time DNFing, but I hated that book. And everyone loves it and raves about it constantly. And I'm like, how?
I know I did read it, because that was, like, the first book. Because, like, obviously I love the horror genre, but I didn't start reading adult horror as regularly until, like, I was on Bookstagram. And I think that was one of the first ones I did read. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember, like, I don't remember anything at all. So, yeah.
Not for me.
Poor Kill Creek, which is so funny because I see that recommended all the time.
All the time. People still talk about it. And, like, huge Bookstagram accounts recommend it. And I'm just like, no, there's better things. Don't recommend that.
Yes. Okay, so my next one, so Hidden Pictures and this one are the ones I think I'd get the most flack for saying I don't like. But it's Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris.
Also did not read that.
Okay, so this was very big. Like, when we first got on Bookstagram, everyone was talking about this book and just this author. Like, this is a very popular author, very popular book. Could have just been not for me, but I can't tell you how much I hated it. So much. Didn't like it.
I love that for you.
So it follows Jack and Grace, right? And of course they are, like, the perfect couple. He is, you know, wealthy, successful. She's very elegant. He's an attorney and she's a homemaker. And there's bad things going on, right? Like, part of the synopsis is, like, you know, they wonder why Grace never answers the phone or why she can never meet for coffee, even though she doesn't work, even though, like, she cooks, like, these big feasts, but is so thin. And I had a problem with the why of it because it just feels icky. And then there's a part where, again, it's like, why would you make this decision to do, like, the logic and the steps don't make sense to me. Like, why would you put yourself through that? And it was just, it felt really, I love domestic thrillers, but this one almost felt very over the top. And I don't always mind that, like, if it's kind of a caricature of, like, people, because it's not real, so I don't care. It could be as dramatic as you want it to be, but there was just something about this one that did not click for me at all. It was, yeah, not it.
I think that's fair. I don't like domestic suspense, so I never even attempted to read that book because I don't care. It's I
Right.
don't care about your cheating spouse. I don't care about your spouse embezzling money. It's just like that's not the things that get me going. So I didn't think I would
Yeah,
like that, so I
I
never read it.
again, this is probably just a me thing. Everyone else seems to love this one so much, and it is, it's a lot. It's a lot, and I don't recommend it, to be honest. I'm so sorry, but you know.
Yeah, that's all right. My next one's a doozy.
Oh, okay, I'm excited.
Everyone I know in the world loved this book.
Did I love this book?
I think so.
Oh God, let's do
I
it.
am the only person in the world who hated this book. And I am scared. And don't abandon me. But it's The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab.
Interesting. Okay. Why?
Hated it. Hated it. So the premise sounds great, right? It's 1714 France, and a young woman makes a Faustian bargain to live forever, and is cursed to be forgotten by everyone she meets. So she moves through life meeting people, and they immediately forget who she is. And then in the background, there's this, I don't remember what he is, demon person, who's the only person that like remembers her, the guy that made the bargain with her. And then so for 300 years, she's stumbling through life and no one remembers her except for the demon or whatever she made the bargain with. And then she stumbles across a man in a hidden bookstore and he remembers her name. So the premise sounds great. I couldn't tell you really what it is, but everyone's like, it's fantasy.
It wasn't fantasy. It was magical
It's not
realism.
fantasy. It's magical realism love story. And when it first came out, it was marketed as a fantasy book because V.E. Schwab but does a lot of fantasy novels. But this wasn't that. And I literally hated every second of it. I was bored the entire time. Some of it was interesting, like being in the past or whatever, but I just, oh, I didn't enjoy it. And then when it had the chance to get good, it didn't. And I can't, it's a spoiler, so I'm not going to talk about it, but like, I hated everything about this book, and I'm really sorry.
I like how
I.
this episode is going to start with us like apologizing profusely for what we didn't like and then like just going ham on what we did like. So, but I get it. Yeah, I could see it is very it's very slow and if you're marketed, I think that's also too I think some of the issues with some books is that like how they're marketed is just not it and then you read it and you're like, "Oh, okay,
Right.
like if I had known going in that it would be like, if you know it's going to be a slow burn character study with magical realism, you
I
probably
wouldn't have read it.
correct. Exactly. And that's fine. Like, that's not for everybody. And that's for a certain type of
But like,
mood.
right. But like with the premise and them saying it's fantasy, I'm like, oh, like she's gonna battle with this demon that cursed her and blah 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 blah.
Right.
No. Absolutely not. That's not what happens. It's just like, wah, wah, wah. No one remembers me. Cry in a bale of hay. Cry over here. No.
Huh, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I could see that. Okay, I'm kind of scared to bring this one up, but I have like a caveat to it of why I don't I'm nervous that maybe this isn't overhyped because another part of it is over is like really hyped appropriately. I kind of, as much as I love it, kind of could see feel like Shadow and Bone is a little overhyped. You don't agree with me, do you? I'm
No.
talking about the first part. I'm talking about the first three. Not the whole series.
I don't agree with you.
Don't agree with me. Okay. But I feel like, okay, listen. I liked the first one. The second one didn't need to happen. Not a lot happened in the plot, if you think about it.
No.
And then I didn't like
the... I will not think about it.
and I didn't like the ending of the book, to be honest.
No.
I understand.
I didn't like the ending of the book either, but it's still great times.
No, I had a great time reading a book. Okay, here's the thing, to also preface. I had wanted to read Shadow and Bone, of course, but also I really wanted to read Six of Crows. That's why I read Shadow and Bone, was so that I could get to Six of Crows, because that is all I heard about was how amazing it was. And not that Shadow and Bone is bad at all. I love it. I also, it's just like, it was kind of the stepping stone, I guess, to me, to get to what I wanted to.
And that's fair, because, I mean, Six of Crows is better.
Mm-hmm. The last four books, in my opinion, like the last four she wrote in the Grishaverse are better to me.
Yeah.
And so that was the other thing. And there was just like certain characters, like I hated Mal the entire time. Couldn't care less about him.
I'm not a big fan of Mal. Yeah. Why would you go with the farm? You know what? Let's not.
That's going to be a whole other rant of our things. But again, it's not that I didn't like it. I just, the other ones.
I could see it being like overhyped for what it is when like Six of Crows is that good. I guess.
And again, it's like, I think if it was just like appropriately hyped for what it, you know, like it's a little slightly potentially. But again, would I reread it? Yeah, 100%. Will I watch the show if it comes back?
I'm actually, because 100%. You're talking about this, thinking about rereading it now. So take that.
Oh, yeah. Burn. Ooh, burn. But like, I don't like, people should read it. I 100% people think that you should go try it and everything, but it's. Yeah, go on. Your turn.
I've talked about a lot, but I want to say it again because I think it's important. Uh-huh. Crescent City is overhyped.
I was going to put that on my list. Let's talk about it.
Specifically House of Earth and Blood. That book won Goodreads Award, whatever, for 2024 for romantic fantasy. It was not a good book. Not a good book. A bad book, in fact. It wasn't good.
Correct. I am 100% same page. Continue.
Crescent City, the first one, is enjoyable. Again, I've talked about this a lot. I don't enjoy urban fantasy as much as other fantasy, because why are you on your cell phone while you're in sword fighting class? Like, just get out of my... Nope. Get out of my face without that other word that I put in there. I don't love that. It's annoying. The second one, which is House of Sky and Breath, is okay. House of Earth and Blood, which is the third one, is absolute garbage. The covers are really pretty, though.
The third one is Flame and Shadow.
Sorry, Flame and Shadow.
No,
Earth and Blood is the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but I agree. There was, we've talked about it so much of just how, like, Throne of Glass was top tier, and it's just so hard to, like, get to those vibes again for some reason, and I think she was trying to do that in Crescent City, just with how she built Bryce, but it just was mm-hmm. not, it wasn't the same.
Bryce was exactly the same as Aelin, only not as cool. Like, it just, no, it didn't work.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
For me, personally. I know people love it and will, you know, die at that altar, but I won't because boo.
Well, then you just, yeah, you have the whole line about how he doesn't wear underwear, and I was just like, I'm done. Thank you so much. I don't want to wear this anymore.
Trash.
I hate it here.
Get out of here.
Well, and then, not to spoil it, but she had the perfect chance to do something and didn't execute how I think any of us wanted her to execute it.
Right.
And it was just very sad because we all saw it coming. And then it was just, anyways.
And then it was garbage.
Bye bye. Yeah, I was.
Right. And then it was stupid.
Uh-huh. Correct. So, same page. Now, I feel like we could open this discussion to the both of us because you already said it, which is Riley Sager. I specifically chose, because I think I really like talked a lot about Survive the Night when it came out and how much I disliked that one so much.
Yeah.
With a burning passion. Couldn't stand it. But I also
That one specifically I really didn't like. I and again, we've talked about this on the podcast before. After that one, I didn't read his next like two or three books. I just read Middle of the Night this summer or whatever, and that one was kind of like meh.
I never finished that, to be honest. I was doing it on audio and I got halfway through and I just, it wasn't bad, but I didn't care. I wasn't that like engrossed in the story, to be honest. But what I specifically chose was The Only One Left, which I know you did not read.
Nope.
I did read this in like my In Real Life book club with, which at the time was just me and my friends. So it was more of a buddy read. And the last, it was so slow. And I'm sorry. Okay. First off, if some, this is supposed to be based off Lizzie Borden, right? Like she, this woman was accused of killing her whole family and now she is bedridden. And this other woman, she gets a new caregiver and the caregiver, the lady tells her, I want to tell you my story, what really happened. And this is a very notorious crime in their community. She knows exactly who it is. She's heard the stories and she's spends five chapters. Will I have her tell me or will I not have her? No, you're going to sit there and you're going to let her tell you her story. What do you mean? Am I going to do it? Of course. And then the ending was just like whiplash of reveals that they were there. They were okay.
they didn't hit the way you wanted to.
No, they did not. They did not. So I would love not to give up on Riley Sager, to be honest. I'm still, for some reason, holding out some hope. It's
well, because, like, Final Girls and The Last Time I Lied and Lock Every Door, like,
those were good.
Were so good. Yes. Appropriately hyped, very good, like, original stories. And I don't know, it hasn't been working for me lately.
No, do you have another overhyped one?
No, I hate being a hater. I really don't like it. I don't like being mean. So I did those ones that I don't feel bad about and everything else is fine.
Everything else is great. Well, I have one last one and it kind of falls into the category of Riley Sager in the sense that when I started reading thrillers, I read a lot of Mary Kubica's thrillers, like Pretty Baby and...
Yeah, She Lives By Me.
Does she? Oh, you're right. She does.
Yeah, she writes in this coffee shop that I sometimes go to.
Do you say hi to her?
Absolutely not.
She's like, hi, Mary Kubica.
Not a weirdo. We hate your books.
We hate
just your kidding.
Books. No, I don't hate.
I don't think I've ever read one, to be honest.
So, and again, this was like early on reading thrillers. I'm not sure if you would like them, to be honest, and that's not a like bad thing, it's what it is. Her first few that I read were really good. I liked them a lot. And then I got to one where truly was pointless, the whole plot. The reveal made everything for nothing. And I am happy with I love unhappy endings. That is totally fine. If the bad guy wins, awesome. If it's a happy ending, awesome. But I hate when the plot is, oh, none of this really had to happen at all.
Right.
And that's kind of what it was. And after that, I was just like, I can't anymore. And I did read one, like The Other Misses, which wasn't bad, but I think that one got really overhyped, to be honest, when it came out. And I think some of her other stuff, just because of how I feel about that one, I now feel like all of her books are overhyped, to be honest. Right.
So. It's colored the feelings on all the other books. I get that.
Mm-hmm. But that is the end of our overhype section. We are now going to talk about the books we love that don't have enough hype. Would you like to start it off so you can not feel like a hater?
Yes, okay. I would love to. Although if there's anything in the last couple of months I've learned, it's that being a hater wins you a lot of Grammys. And so maybe I should hate more.
Honestly, yeah, maybe we're on the wrong track, to be honest.
But no, I like talking about underrated books a lot more because they should be talked about more. And my first one is A Tribute of Fire by Saraya Wilson. And I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast before, but I know I've talked about it on Instagram a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
And this follows a female protagonist whose name escapes me right now. And she has to face this trial in order to save her cursed kingdom A goddess has cursed them because of something that a bloodline did in the past. Mm-hmm. And she has to accomplish this trial so that she can become a priestess in the goddess's temple. And so she can win her favor and learn how to restore her kingdom. And in the scheme of that, there's obviously the trial, there are heists, there are quests, ooh, there's found family, there's a bunch of nuns that, you know, there's just a lot of badassery. It's such a great book, and maybe I'm just I'm not in the fantasy space that I want to be in, so I'm not seeing it a lot. Maybe it is appropriately hyped, but for me, it's underhyped, and everyone should read it. Because it's great. From start to finish, it's great. And I think the second one comes out very soon.
Ooh, okay. I love that. I'm going to have to read
that. And it is on Kindle Unlimited, and I believe audio is included.
Oh my goodness, thank God. I'm going to download that then today. We will return the Unhinged Romance that I read and get that instead.
Yeah, I'm about to return all four of them.
No, you have to only return three because you need to read that fourth one.
I cannot.
Okay. Mine, it's so funny because all of my underhyped ones are fantasy books too. So
yeah, pretty much. I have one.
Ooh. That's not.
No, two. I have two that aren't.
Ooh, love that. Okay. So my first one, which I'm 90% sure you read based on a conversation we had, but City of Dusk by Tara Sim.
You mean the conversation where I was like the big shadow dogs and you were like, what are you talking about?
There were any shadow dogs.
I think that was the first podcast episode.
It was. Yeah, it was. It was one of the first few for sure. Maybe it was the first. But yes, we did talk about it. I love this series. I say series. I haven't read the second one yet, but I recently reread City of Dusk because I want to read the second one. Mm-hmm. But it follows these, what is it, there's four heirs to a house, because you have the House of Night, basically, the House of Nyx, you have the House of Life, there's the Necromancy House, and the Sun Dude, right? Sun Boy.
Yeah.
And
Sun Boy.
And they live in Vitae, and magic is dwindling in their city, and so they're trying to deal with that because the gods closed off the pathways to their magic, basically. And not only are they trying to deal with that, but the king doesn't have an heir. And there's this big party coming up, and the houses believe that they could be one of the next, in line to rule, because they're he has no one else. And so basically they're going through all of that because it's also, what is it, every 100 years they do this whole festival where they try to commune with the gods. And this one is very, very important because it hasn't been done in forever. And there is, again, no magic. So it just goes in so many unexpected areas. And the plot is so cool. And the world building is awesome because you're dealing with gods. You're dealing with these heirs who technically are competing, but they're the only people who they can really talk to and try to figure this out. You have necromancy, which is super cool, and it was just a really good time, and I don't see it talked about, even when it came out, I don't remember seeing that many people talk about it, and even still, so everyone should read it.
I agree. It is very good, and it should be read more widely, and I want to read the second one, but I absolutely have to re-listen to it, because I don't remember to anything at all, except for, Sunboy.
Sunboy, yes.
All right, my second one, I know you read because we read it together, and yay, I want you to guess what it is, and I'm going to say a phrase, and then you're going to know what it is. It is a very good.
That's on my list, too. That was my next one. Yay.
Okay, so we love The Bone Shard Daughter by Andrea Stewart.
Yes.
I should have looked up the synopsis, but I didn't. But what I can tell you is that it has excellent world building, and it's Asian inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the world building is just really original. It's different from a lot of the books. There's more of a seafaring aspect to it, which I really liked. And then there is a sidekick, which is my favorite thing in books. I love an adorable sidekick.
Good old Meffy.
Good old Meffy. Such a cutie. I think about that mug that said a very good from time to time, and I wish I would have bought it, but I didn't.
Oh, same. They had stickers, too.
That was so cute.
So cute. Yeah, did you read the second one? Because I don't think we read it together.
No, I didn't read the second one, and I just bought the third one. So I'm actually going to reread The Bone Shard Daughter and then finish the series.
Yeah, because I read the first two, but I never finished the third one, which I need to, because she also is starting a new series, which I also bought the first one of, because after Bone Shard Daughter, she immediately became an auto-buy for me. So yep. We have a lot of catching up to do. That is
yeah,
for sure.
I haven't started her new series either, but I'm definitely going to finish the Bone Shard series very soon.
Yeah, if you like unique magic, it has a very unique magic system, and the like character dynamics and the rivalries and the, you know, I like when books too, like there's different POVs and plot lines, and it's cool to see all of those kind of come together and like certain people finally meet and this is happening and this is happening. So it's very, yeah, everyone should just read it. To be honest, I don't see that around enough at all anymore.
I agree.
Okay. Well, that was so funny. That was my second one. So hopefully this next one will redeem me from my overhyped section. To me, I would say King of Scars is underhyped, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. I think everyone kind of gravitates towards Six of Crows, and that's where the dialogue kind of stops. But yeah, King of Scars, I mean, you have to read all the books before you read King of Scars.
Yes.
Is the one thing about it, but, and maybe that's why it doesn't get talked about enough, but I agree.
I loved it. Well, also, like, Nikolai is my favorite character, to be honest, from the whole series. So I like that it's centered around him.
Because of his gorgeous brown hair, you mean?
No, I mean his, like, nice, luscious, golden, blonde, sunny, sun boy hair. He is blonde, in fact.
Nope, not in my book.
And I love this duology because that second one, dude, I was excited for the TV show, okay? But then I was even more excited for the Shadow and Bone TV show when I realized, oh my god, there is a chance that we will get to see certain things. And I can't say the phrase because it'll give it away. But the second book, that ending is so cool and what happens. And you just get, like, we've been with these characters for so many books. You get a lot more backstory from other characters. And you get to be in their POV for the first time ever and expands the world. And it is so good. I loved it so much, to be honest. That was just phenomenal.
It's a great ending to kind of the Grishaverse. It was very good.
Yes.
My next one, I put down here for underhyped, but I actually then remembered that they made a TV show out of it on Netflix. So it's probably not underhyped, but I don't see people talking about it, and I don't remember people really talking about it when it came out, but it's German, so maybe it's very hyped in Germany, and it's just not as hyped here, and that is Dear Child by Rami Hausmann.
They made a show of this?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh my god, okay, well I didn't know that, because I would agree with you.
So I'm going to read a little bit of the synopsis here, because I read this several years ago, and I don't remember a lot about it other than that it was shocking. The twists were amazing, and I couldn't stop listening. Like, I couldn't put it down. In a windowless shack in the woods, Lena's life and that of her two children follow the rules set by their captor, the father. Meals, bathroom visits, study time are strictly scheduled and meticulously observed. He protects his family from dangers lurking in the outside world and makes sure that his children will always have a mother to look after them. One day, Lena manages to flee, but the nightmare continues. It seems as if her tormentor wants to get back what belongs to him. And then there is the question whether she really is a woman called Lena, who disappeared without a trace 14 years ago. The police and Lena's family are all desperately trying to piece together a puzzle which doesn't quite seem to fit.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. And it was great. It held my interest the whole time. I didn't see the twists coming. And honestly, from the synopsis, you're still kind of going in blind. Because, like, yes, that is a big part of the story. But, like, the children play a huge part in it. It's wild.
I do remember. And also, that was, like, one of the first books. at least that I remember. There could have been more before it, but I remember that one also being compared to Gone Girl a lot for whatever reason. So that one was a good one.
It's very different, but I can see where they're drawing that comparison from, like, a twist standpoint, because it is very shocking.
My next one, I don't actually know if you read this, to be honest, and if you haven't, you should, but it's Where Dreams Descend by Janella Angeles.
Yeah, I did.
You did? Yeah,
I almost put this on my list, but then I didn't.
Heck yeah. Okay, so this one, the synopsis. So this one is so cool because it kind of reminds me of, like, Moulin Rouge. It has a very, like, it has a Baz Luhrmann feel to it in terms of how just extravagant it is. And the magic system is very unique. The romance, the characters. So we basically follow magicians who are facing off in a daring game of magical feats to be the next headliner of the Conquering Circus. So you have the star, who is Kalia. She's a showgirl, and she is, like, very much like, I am going to be the best person ever, the best magician, and all of that. And then you have the master, who is Jack, and he is the keeper of the club, and he is very interesting. And then you have the magician, who is DeMarco, and he is going to be a judge for this competition. And it's just, I need to reread it, because I want to read the second one. I never finished it. Not because of anything, it was good. I don't remember what happened, but I think everyone should go read it. Unique magic system. It's a good time.
100% that is, like, criminally underhyped. Like, when it came out, nobody talked about it except maybe you and I. And it just, like, it blew me away. I remember being blown away by that book.
It was just so, the plotting, and it's just everything. Like, if you like fantasy and you like the kind of visual, like, when it feels cinematic and the visuals it gives you, like, this is 100% a book you need to read, because it is just phenomenal.
I agree.
We are in agreement. And that was my last one.
Oh, I have two more.
Yay, go for it.
So one of them is another thriller series. It's kind of like police procedural a little bit. And it's The Mountains Wild by Sarah Stewart Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a series now. There are several books. I'm a couple books behind because I'm really bad at that. But the first one is the protagonist, I believe it's her cousin, went missing in Ireland like 20 years ago or whatever. And she had gone over there to visit when her cousin lived there. And now she's going back to see if she can discover what happened to her. And she's kind of, like, retracing her steps from when she went to visit. And it's such an atmospheric story. And she's, like, revisiting people she met when she was in Ireland. There's, like, an interesting man. And and she's, like, walking through the Irish hills and solving a decades-old cold case.
Love it. Vibes.
Right. And then the rest of the series that I have read is also just really great. And I don't see people talking about it, and it upsets me because they are so good.
That is so funny, because I remember I bought this because you loved it so much, and I still have yet to read it, unfortunately. So I need to do that, because
it happens to the best of us.
It does. But I do, of course, I mean, the whole Irish setting is very appealing, so.
Yeah, I love an Irish setting. Anything not set in America, to be honest.
Facts.
All right. Let me look up the synopsis real quick for my last book, because it's been a long time since I've read it, and it is Wild. I believe I forced you to read it, but I hope so. Wrong.
Let's see.
And it is Gideon the Ninth by Tamsin Muir.
I have not read that yet.
How dare you?
I have them.
So this is a book, it's like sci-fi fantasy, and there are necromancers, and Gideon is a swordswoman, and she is hilarious, and as a protagonist, like, she's probably one of my favorite protagonists of all time, and she is called to protect her childhood nemesis while she's going through this, like, trial, like a Hunger Games situation, because the Emperor has invited each of the heirs from his loyal houses, and they have to, like, match wits and skill in this, like, trial Hunger Games situation, and they're all necromancers, and Harrowhark is who Gideon is protecting, and they've always had this very antagonistic relationship, and the interactions between the two of them in this book are so funny that I still think about it all the time. And without Gideon to protect her, they know that Harrow's gonna fail and the Ninth House will die. And so they can't let that happen, and drama ensues. And this is a series, I haven't read the last book, it goes to some bonkers places. Like, it gets more insane as it goes on. Like, people were like, I didn't understand the second book at all. And you do absolutely have to pay, like, super close attention in the second book. But it's just crazy and wild. And Tamsin Muir is one of my, like, you know, if you could have dinner with anybody, who would it be? Because she is a genius. And I feel like that would be the most wildly entertaining meal of my life.
I do. It was so funny. It was around Thanksgiving. My dad was talking to me about books, and he was like, have you heard of, like, I forget what he said, but he was talking about Gideon the Ninth. And I was like, I have not read it yet, but I want to read it. I own the first three books, so I don't know why I have not started it yet. Other than,
they're so good.
I was, and I heard this more about the first one, but I did hear it was, like, kind of confusing or hard to understand. So I've been a little leery for that reason, but I do want to read it.
I think the first one is not so bad. The second one is very confusing, and you have to, like, really pay attention because it's wild. And then at the end, you're like, oh,
it makes
that's
sense.
Why. Yeah.
Okay.
They're so good.
I do kind of have one more, actually, that made me think of it based on what you were saying. And I don't know if you read it, and maybe this isn't underhyped. The author is hyped, but I don't see this one of her books, which is Masters of Death by Olivia Blake.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read this one?
No.
So this one is super fun, but it's one of those ones where you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, and there is no in between. And it's because there's a plot, but there's also not a plot, to be honest with you. It's very interesting, but I love it because I love banter. I love funny banter. This book is so funny. Olivia Blake is a hilarious person, and I think it's amazing. And you have one character, Viola, who is a real estate agent and a vampire. And you have Fox Tamora, who is a medium, and you have, like, a demon, and you have a ghost, and you have all of these different people, but the book is narrated by Death himself as well. And
interesting.
It is, you have angels and demons, and if you'd read it, you have to redo it on audio. It is really well done, and it is just, it is purely, like, if I could, like, this is, like, the poster child of our podcast in the sense that it's vibes only, to be honest, for me. So, for a fun little detour, I recommend it.
I have an honorable mention, because I'm reading it right now, and I'm not done yet, and maybe by the end of it, I'll change my mind. But I think Feybound by Sarah El Arifi is super underrated. I don't understand why people aren't talking, because the second book comes out in, well, right as of recording, 2 weeks, I think. It comes out in February, the last week of February. And I don't, maybe I just, like, wasn't online last year and I missed everyone talking about this book. But I don't understand. It's so good and original. And the world building is, like, just amazing. And the characters are fun. And it's, like, funny and heartfelt and sad. And I don't understand why we're not all talking about it right now. All the time.
Ooh. I didn't know what you were talking about, but I remember seeing the cover and when you posted it, and I really don't see this at all either.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through it, so I, you know, maybe I'll change my mind, but it's, I read 150 pages of it yesterday in one sitting.
Oh,
which
my,
I don't
goodness.
Do a lot anymore. It's so good.
Okay, well, I'm adding this to my list then because I need it.
Yeah, as you should. And Cursebound is the second book, and it comes out the 23rd, I don't know, end of this month.
Ooh, okay. Well, you're very close to it then.
Yeah, so I want to finish the second one this week because I think it comes out the week after. And I did pre-order it, so it will arrive to me in the mail.
Yay. God bless pre-orders.
For real.
For real. Well, do you have any last-minute honorable mentions? outside of that one.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things that I really liked that other people didn't like that I want them to like more, but I don't know.
I feel that. But so follow us in 2 weeks and see, because I think part of the discussion too will be, is The Housemaid overhyped? Was it appropriately hyped, or was it one of the two? Because it's not, I'd be surprised if we considered it
should
underhyped.
It be more, should there be more hype?
Should it be more hype? So we'll see, and let us know what some of your overhyped, underhyped, appropriately hyped books are by tagging us on socials. You can find us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram.
That's correct.
That is correct. I got it right this time, thank God. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye. Bye.